Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 187 of Nerd Pride Radio. 187, 187 in the California Penal Code is the code number for murder. So therefore, very popular as the names of various musical groups, rap groups, albums, song titles. It shows up a lot of places. In fact, it even shows up as the Count Von Count's favorite number. Well, technically, his favorite number is 34,969, which happens to be 187 squared. So go figure on that one. And also, just as an added bonus, the total value of all Scrabble tiles in a standard English Scrabble set, 187. There you go. So, ask me how I'm doing today.
How are you doing today?
Go on, ask me again. Thank you. I am awesome.
How are you doing today?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. And my co-host this week is the ghost of Alice the Guinea Pig. Okay, that's unfair. That's kind of sad. Actually,
hey!
I know. Alice the Guinea Pig finally died. She was, for those of you who have been listening and you know it's been a while, she was 389, and it was sad. So, actually, no, it turns out we looked it up, and she was just over 4 years old when she passed away. So that is the last of our guinea pigs, and we will miss her. So sad. All right. Before I get into the rest of the show, updates. All right. First up on updates. Hey, the Supreme Court just handed down a couple of decisions relevant to stuff I talk about. First off, the, let's see. It was the, oh, darn it. I'm trying to remember which one this was. Oh God, I'm killing myself. That's right. Okay. It was when I talked about, John Deere owning your tractor, or, well, technically you own the hardware of the tractor, but they tried to make a case that maybe they own the software that runs the tractor, so you don't really own your tractor the same way you don't really own your video games on Steam, or you don't really own the books you buy on Amazon when they're electronic, et cetera, and what the Supreme Court just came down with is that, no, when you buy something, you own it. When you buy something, you own it, and it's yours. Now, electronic stuff, we still may have a ways to go on some of those. But this one specifically was against Lexmark, because Lexmark was trying to nail people who were reselling their empty cartridges. There was a company buying up empty printer cartridges, then refilling them, and then selling them back out. And Lexmark was trying to say that, well, by buying up our empty cartridges and reusing them, you're violating our patents or trademarks or copyright, whatever. And it turns out that they're not. So the Supreme Court handed down and said, no, is this any different than, you know, buying up a used car and fixing it up and reselling it? No, it's not. So therefore, you actually own the stuff you buy in most cases. Weird, huh? But the other one, this goes all the way back to my patent troll episode, and if I were a better host, I would look up which episode that was. But the patent troll episode where I talked about how easy it is for people to buy up patents on, I mean, just stupid patents on common sense stuff, and then just sue people. just sue people because they bought a patent and sue people and make money off of it without ever actually producing anything. And also, I mean, it's things like, you know, having a patent on the concept of recording a radio show and then distributing it to people over the internet. Yeah, that's a patent somebody holds and now tries to sue people who run podcasts because they're violating his patent because they never paid him a licensing fee, when technically he didn't even come up with the patent. And number two, the idea of, yeah, I'm going to record something and distribute on the internet, and there's no technicals in there for how you go about doing it. There's no, it's bullshit. It's him claiming ownership of a common sense idea and then making money off of it. Well, the Supreme Court this week came down and said, that if you're going to even try and make a case that the patent trolls have to, and let's not assume that they're all trolls, but basically, they have to sue in the jurisdiction where they are incorporated. That's how it's being interpreted. And so therefore, in the past, patent trolls have always picked, there's one little jurisdiction down in Texas where it is super easy because the judges there, the judge there, super lenient. Things always tend to go the way of the patent trolls, and so that's where everybody sues at. And now they're saying, well, you can't go pick and choose which judge you want. That's bullshit. They say, no, you need to file your patent dispute, file it in the jurisdiction where your company happens to be incorporated, which means, oh, thank goodness, now they're going to spread these out. You can't pick and choose. We'll get some more even-handed judgments on this because they'll be spread out. It won't be... Again, they won't be able to pick and choose to get favorable judgments for themselves. So, I don't know about you. I'm super happy about that. I think that is super cool. I've been following the patent stuff ever since I talked about it. So, I was happy to hear that. All right. Also under updates. So, I went and checked out the National Enquirer this week for you because apparently I'm going to do that every week. And I was so disappointed that there was nothing in there about President Trump. At all. I mean, no, at least nothing on the cover. Now, I was in line long enough that I opened it up and there was an article on the inside, but it was only like a half-page article, and it's, you know, why the Prez, again, they get to call him Prez, why the Prez had to fire Jim Comey, and I didn't bother to read it, I just saw the headline. So I was so disappointed that I couldn't get my weekly glimpse into the mind of the Trump voter just by looking at the cover. But, I guess while Trump is out of the country and, you know, his administration is being besieged by on all sides by, just everything. And which is, I just can't even keep up with the news anymore. So while that's all going on, instead they devoted this cover to, Steve Harvey, who apparently they've decided that Steve Harvey is an asshole and therefore they're going to blare that from their front page. And then underneath Steve Harvey, some lines about Bill Cosby, being caught out at, I don't know what. And then up top, some stuff about Michael Jackson's kids. And, so that's what the Enquirer is covering this week. Apparently, if they don't have enough presidential material, they like to devote an entire issue to black celebrities who have fallen from grace. So there you go. So I wish I had better, but we'll see what happens next week. All right. Enough of all that stuff. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my super busy week, I add it to my master list. The very best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And first up, it's my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. So, last week at game night, I played Dark Souls. And Dark Souls, the board game. Yeah, my son is over there going, oh my god, you played Dark Souls? Yeah, no, Dark Souls, the board game. Yeah, he's not as impressed now. But.
I thought you actually had some cojones
for no, it. Let me tell you what. Dark Souls, the board game, actually captured the real essence of, well, I've never actually played Dark Souls, the video game.
You died 99 times out of 100?
Yeah, it's like that. Okay, here's the way it works. The, Dark Souls board game, you lay out some tiles that make up the board, and each one you enter a room, and you've got your four different characters, and apparently there's going to be expansions where there are other characters to choose from, but got four different characters, and I got to be the Herald, so as usual, I'm the Bard. And as you go in, everyone's got their strengths, everyone's got their different abilities to support each other, and there are creatures in the room, you fight it out, and at the end of each room, once you've cleared a room, you gain a number of souls, based on however many creatures you killed in there. And then you move on to the next room. And then finally, eventually, you get to the end and you clear out, hopefully, get to the end and clear out a mini-boss at the end. But we weren't quite ready to face the mini-boss, so when you get to the end, you have the option of, instead of facing the mini-boss, you just go through a portal, you start over, you get to buy, sell stuff, and then you can sweep through again. And basically, you're grinding. You go through it three or four times, maximum of three or four before you have to face off with it doesn't matter. But yeah, they give you the chance to simply repeat the rooms that you just did several times, to grind for more souls so that you can buy more gear. So
that's
you do,
about Dark Souls.
Yeah, so you do your grinding and then you finally feel like you've done it enough times that you face your mini boss. And that's where we ended because our mini boss had like 27 hit points. We got it down to 2, and then we finally died. And so our game was over at that point. But it is a lot of just keep repeating the same stuff over and over, but you get slightly more powerful each time, and it becomes easier. And so if we had beaten this mini-boss, then we would have had the option to go through, and okay, now we repeat another 3 or 4 cycles of grinding until we can face the next mini-boss, and then the next one, and then there would be a big boss after that. And the amazing part for me, there's two things I want to comment on about it. Is I had fun. I actually really enjoyed it, but it was 3 hours long. It was 3 hours for us to do grind, grind, grind. Oh, mini boss, here we go, and then die. And that was 3 hours worth of work. And so, if we had wanted to play out to a full boss, so we faced 3 mini bosses and then a boss, we're talking like, okay, let's assume we got a little bit better at it, and maybe things went a little bit faster, but we're still talking, you know, 12 hours. Just to get to the first boss. And then apparently there's more beyond that, and there's expansions that you're going to be able to buy that give you even more, and you can advance further. So this could be an ongoing, you know, 30 or 40 hours worth of a campaign to get through one board game, which is not my style, but I can see getting into it. I could see it's set up as a cooperative game, so you're all working together. But I could also see how it would be great for solo play. If you wanted to play just by yourself and run all 4 characters by yourself, I can see how that would be fun. It's actually not bad. Again, it's not one that I'm going to pick up myself, but I enjoyed playing it. And I also want to say that the battles, I thought the setup of the rooms and the various nodes where everyone has to stand, and then you move here and there, the system for the bad guys, they all had cards that say on their turn, they're going to attack, you know, in this priority, they'll move here, and then after they attack, they'll take a step in this direction. And it made for some real, realistic and interesting combat movements. That it kept things shuffling around the board. It wasn't a static, you know, one side just slamming into the other one over and over. It was people had to move around and make tactical decisions, and it was really clever. Really well put together for that. So, I enjoyed it. And again, and this was one that, you know, it's a big complicated board game with a million rules. And I sat down to it, and it's again one of those where they're like, hey, we're going to do some Dark Souls. You want to sit in? And I have made it my policy. I always say yes. So I went over and I sat down and I played, but man, I didn't want to. I was so intimidated by this learning curve. But again, you know.
I think it is playing actual Dark Souls.
Right. I assume actual Dark Souls is even less fun. And so I sat down and I played through, and after we got done with the first room, oh, okay, I got this down. I understand what we're doing. I understand why we're doing it. All right, good. And then by the third or fourth room, it was like, okay, yeah, I'm ready to start directing things. I'm, you know, when someone else isn't paying attention, I'm ready to, you know, give them the heads up and hey, oh, you're up. Yeah, no, you'll want to be over there. Okay. And I really caught on and had a good time with it. And if someone offered again, it's 3 hours. That's an awful lot of commitment, but yeah, it was a good time. So there you go. That was Dark Souls. And, well, Yeah, we played other stuff, but it's not, nothing that was new or nothing that's going to contribute to this discussion. So we'll leave it at that. The other thing though that I did notice about game night this week is we're gaming, it was right before Memorial Day, the Friday before Memorial Day. And so therefore the weather's gotten nice and everyone was in shorts and, we showed up for the game night and by about the 2 hour mark into game night, it smelled like a gaming convention in there. Oh God. It was, I mean, like I had to leave to go out for like 10 minutes because I had to, I was running one of the kids to the house and then I came back and coming back after 10 minutes, I walk in. I'm like, oh man, this would not have been a good night for it to be someone's first night coming to game night. Cause man, if you walk in on this,
man,
and you're like,
it smells like sweaty nerd in here.
Right. It smells like sweaty nerd. It smells like a locker room. There's a lot of teenage guys in there and some of them are not that fastidious about their hygiene. So, man, it was just, it's the kind of thing like I knew enough of the teenagers in the room personally that I almost wanted to like bring a can of spray deodorant and just, you know, hey dudes, yeah, no, I know you showered. I know you did. I know you, could you just hit it once just to be on the safe side, make sure it's not you. Cause I don't think it was any of my guys, but yeah, you never know. Ugh. Man, Eli's not bad. And Eli's like Jacob. He likes to take a couple of showers a day. He likes to make sure he's always got deodorant on. He's always very careful about it. So no, it's his cousin Caleb that I worry about. That's a stinky kid. There you go. I only say that because we had a big, anyway, there was a whole thing with it last summer where his dad thought he wasn't wearing deodorant, but he was wearing deodorant, but it wasn't antiperspirant, so he was sweating through it all. Anyway, I told you guys about all that. It's not really relevant to this discussion, is it? Okay. Is that it for my gaming table? Yeah, about it. All right, well, let's move on then. Now it's time for a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. This week on my nerd culture report, I'm actually just going to mention happy people. I have been, and these are all actually from people I watch on YouTube, but people who are just relentlessly cheerful, and I adore them for it, and that's why I enjoy watching them, all right? Under his channel is Stand Up Maths, and the guy's name is Matt Parker, and he is a he's from the UK, and he just talks about math, and he just loves math, and he's just a super nerd about math. And I enjoy watching his videos. I enjoy everything he does. And again, just a guy who's just so, so relentlessly positive about talking about math. And he makes me happy just watching him because he's always, always enthused about it, always thrilled. So, if you like math and you like happy people, check out Stand Up Maths. Next one, Diana Cowan, who is Physics Girl, and I've mentioned Physics Girl many times here, and I love watching Physics Girl. I think she does great stuff. Oh, by the way, every time I say Physics Girl, every time, in the back of my head, I am quoting Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club when he starts talking about, yeah, he's in the math club and the Latin club and the physics club. Every time I say physics girl, actually, every time I use the word physics as an adjective for anything, that quote is going on in my head. I can't help myself. So if I ever sound weird on that word, that's why, because I can't get that out. Anyway, but that's not the point. Diana from Physics Girl is just spectacular. She is just, again, it's always physics, and she brings on friends, and she has experts, and she is a physicist herself, and she's super smart and really fun and just a joy to watch. It's the kind, she had a chance to go, to be weightless, on the Vomit Comet, the parabola plane, and do the weightless thing. And she said it was weird because here she had all these things planned out and all she could do is just basically just go, oh my God, this is so awesome. And there so little gets done because people, as much as they plan to do while they're in this weightless situation, it turns out it's a really common theme to just be overwhelmed by the experience. So that's what it was for her. Anyway, if you enjoy physics, watch Physics Girl. She makes it super accessible, and she's very smart and a lot of fun to listen to. So watch that. It's on YouTube. Then the third one, the last one, is Amber Ruffin, who is, if you ever watch Late Night with Seth Meyers, she is one of the writers for Late Night, the Late Show. Late Night, Late Show, whichever one has Seth Meyers on, the one on NBC. And Amber is one of his writers, and she shows up in a bunch of sketches that he does. She introduces herself into those sketches. She's happens to be black, and so she does a lot of commentary on race stuff when those things are in the news and stuff like that. But she is just, every time she's on, she is having so much fun doing what she's doing. She really enjoys her work. She really enjoys being on the show. And it just shines through. She is just again, amazingly charming and funny and infectious and really cool. So, if you don't watch any of the late night, any of the Seth Meyers clips on YouTube, you should watch them. That's when I watch them. I don't watch any of the guests. I just watch his other material. I watch his news segments, when he does regular looks into the news, and I enjoy that part of it. But then he also has some regular recurring bits that most of them are super stupid, but, I can't get enough of them anyway. For example, my favorite, absolute favorite bit from Seth Meyers is jokes Seth can't tell. Have I told you about this bit yet? Because I talk about it all the time. Jokes that Seth can't tell. They have this elaborate setup for it where he has to go through this long explanation about how he's a straight white guy and therefore there are certain jokes that the writers come up with because they have a very diverse writing team, and there are certain jokes that they come up with that he simply as a straight white guy can't tell. And so he brings out two of his writers, one of whom is Amber, and so they've got two women, one's black, one's gay, and thus they can hand out the punchlines for all these jokes that Seth isn't allowed to say on the air. And they do the exact same thing every single time. And it always ends up with, you know, they'll tell these slightly off-color jokes. And they, when they get all the way through them, at the very end, finally they go, well, why don't you tell one, Seth? And he says, oh, no, I couldn't. I mean, they do exactly the same thing every time. Exactly. And it still cracks me up. I don't know why. He's like, oh, I couldn't do it. I'll get in trouble. I can't tell these jokes. And they're like, oh, no, it'll be fine. We promise you. It'll be fine. You can do it. And so he'll tell a joke that's, you know, got a racial punchline or something about gay people. And, you know, and again, they're never too serious, but it's network TV. But he always gets to the punchline and then they act horrified. Seth, how could you? What? You told me it would be okay. And then they yell at him for being a racist. And then he starts screaming that black women and lesbians are all liars. And that's how they end the bit every time. And for some reason, every time that makes me laugh. I mean, it's the exact same format. They do the exact same thing. And yet I find it funny. I mean, they've got like 9 of these, 10 of these. Go search for jokes Seth can't tell. And watch them all right in a row. And it's the exact same thing every single time. And yet I love that bit. It's just, I don't know, something comforting about it. So there you go. Those in my nerd culture report, those are my happy people from YouTube that I wanted to share. And they're not necessarily all from YouTube, but that's where I watch them. So, Matt Parker from Stand Up Maths, Diana Cowan from Physics Girl, and Amber Ruffin from, Seth Meyer Late Show. So there you go. All right. What's up next?
And now for something completely different.
That's right. It's time for something completely different. This is just stuff I don't have a category for yet. And it turns out I didn't have a podcast last week because I was going on vacation. And then I went on vacation. And man, did we have a good time. If you ever find yourself in the middle of Oklahoma and you've got nothing better to do, you need to go to Turner Falls. Turner Falls near Davis, Oklahoma is just an amazing park. It is an amazing spectacle. It is awesome. We wound up going in there, and I think for $50 a night, we got, was it $50 a night? It was $100 anyway. It was something relatively cheap because you get your cabin in there, a cabin for 4 people that also includes admission to the park. And therefore, admission to the park is already $12 a person, and that's just included in your cabin. So, so for relatively cheap, we stayed 2 nights in the park. We, met my parents there. In fact, my parents got the cabin right next door to ours. And, We just had a great time. It turns out that Turner Falls is about halfway in between our house and my parents' house, and so it was a nice place to meet up. And we got to spend 3 days together, and it was the perfect amount of time for a vacation. We had such a good time. All right. On the way down, we actually stopped and stayed over a night in Oklahoma City, where actually we stayed in Norman, which is just outside of Oklahoma City. It's a suburb. And we stayed in Norman, Oklahoma. And then that way, when we got up in the morning, it was just an hour drive over from Oklahoma City to get to Turner Falls. But our night in Oklahoma City was actually really fun. We went down, since it was Memorial Day, we went down to the Oklahoma City Memorial for the bombing 20 years ago now. And our kids had not been there before, or at least don't remember being there. And so it was a really moving experience to see they have this very large reflecting pool and these huge gates that mark the beginning and the end of the disaster, chairs that are set out and positioned and lit up to mark the people who died in the bombing. And it was all very, very beautiful. And it was a wonderful experience to go there and visit it. And everyone was very solemn and took it very seriously. And it was just, it was awe-inspiring. And so I'm glad we did that. And then after we went to the memorial, we went down to their, what they call Bricktown, and this is their revitalized downtown, which lots of big cities do a revitalized downtown, and theirs is really spectacular. I mean, Oklahoma City put some millions of dollars into this, and they really made this thing work. Bricktown is, there's a whole section of it, used to be an old warehouse district, and there's these sections where they actually tore out the basement level of the streets. And so you've got street level, and then you've got stairs that come down to what used to be basement level, but is now outdoors, and there's a park out there, and there's all sorts of activities. And then from the basement level, they then dug down further, and they made canals that connect a whole bunch of this stuff. So you have these canals that cover this whole area, float underneath some of the street level roadways, and they have ferries that will carry you around. Water taxis, they call them. And it's really beautiful and it's really fun. And there's a lot of interesting stuff down there. And so we took the water taxi and got to hear the whole story and see the sights. And it was really cool. And I mean, it's been there for 20 years now, and they just got a Bass Pro Shop, at one end. And so they're doing they've got a whole bunch of new shops coming in, so that whole area is just getting bigger and bigger. I mean, they've got a lot of room to expand, and it's just really cool. So, there you go. We really enjoyed Oklahoma City. I was not expecting that much out of it, but man, for just being in town for, you know, 5-6 hours, we had an awesome time. It was really cool. And it also helped that holy crap, we got this hotel in Norman. It was a Best Western Plus. And what Best Western Plus means right this moment, apparently, is that it is brand new and it looks modern and fancy and amazing. And we got a suite big enough to sleep all six of us comfortably. So we had multiple rooms, all this space, and we got a suite for six people for $87. Holy crap. What a deal. I mean, this was absolutely amazing. Now, the downside to Best Western Plus is that it is huge, modern, spacious. Everything looks gorgeous. And then you check all the details and you can see that it was, a lot of it was farmed out to the lowest bid. I mean, it's some cheap construction and some stuff that, man, it all looks great right this moment because that's 'cause it's brand new. I guarantee you, if I visit this same Best Western Plus in 12 years, it's going to be a rundown piece of crap. Because you could just see where there's just whole lines and sections that are just, yeah, that wasn't done with a level, was it? Oh man. But you don't see that right away because, you know, on the outside, it all looks great, but then you start grabbing stuff and it's a little flimsy. So it was perfect for us because it's brand new. We'll see what it looks like in a dozen years. But anyway, that was Oklahoma City. I am telling you, Turner Falls, Oklahoma, was spectacular. And when I get to the end of this, I'm going to give you some of the downsides to Turner Falls Park. And when I get to those downsides, don't let them detract from anything that I'm saying right now, because It was amazing, and it was worth every moment we spent there, and we had such a good time. But here's the deal. There is a lot in this park. I mean, it was, it's Turner Falls. Turner Falls is billed as the largest falls in Oklahoma, which, again, that doesn't say a whole lot. It's Oklahoma. So they're not gigantic, but they are the largest falls in Oklahoma. And it's the Honey Creek River it's Honey Creek, but that's the river that flows down here, and it winds up forming falls at a bunch of different spots, but there's one really spectacular one that comes down, and there's a big pool underneath it, and just all the different spots that they have, there are so many places to hang out and swim and hike and be, and it was just a lot of fun. There's the main area of the falls where they've got a big natural pool that's filled there, and they've kind of walled off one portion of it. The rains had been enough that they had closed off that main area the first day we were there, but then they opened it up the next morning. But we wound up swimming underneath that main pool area, and they've got this spillway section where water comes through from the pool above and spits out into the river down below. And Jacob discovered, because he went and checked out each one of these, that there's one of them where this water jets out and forms this little mini falls there. And he found out you can just squeeze in behind those falls and just sit there. And it is like, okay, you guys know me. I'm a big guy. All right. I weigh 280 pounds now. And if I get up there, I can squeeze in behind that set of falls and I can sit behind them. And there is literally just enough room behind this water for me to sit there bringing my legs up, and I can squeeze in, and it's just me. And the water comes out shooting out over the top of my head, around the sides of my head and body, and it forms this shell that comes crashing down in front of you. And like I say, inside this shell, underneath the water, there's this dry patch that's just big enough for me to sit. And then this water forms this cocoon around you. Doesn't touch you, and it just cascades around you, and it's amazing. You have to do it. You have to do it. I can tell you about it, but I'm telling you, you got to do it. And then everybody, the first time they get in there, invariably, either Jacob or Aiden, for me it was Aiden first, winds up sticking their face through the waterfall into your little open area in there. They stick their face in here and go, "Hey, how's it going in here? Everything work out okay?" And it freaks you out the first time because it's like, oh my God, it's just a head that appears out of nowhere. But it's just the coolest little space, and it's just really cool. And so we did that, among other things. There was all sorts of, swimming around, going over the rocks, it's a cool spot. All right. And then there's another spot down below that called the Blue Hole. And that one is a lot deeper, and it's also a big natural pool, but they've built a couple of slides over it. So you'll wind up going down the slides and coming off of there. They've got a diving board, so you can go diving into the deep area, and just a super cool area. We hung out there for a while. This is out of order, but the third swimming hole we found, we went further up the river, and found a spot where there's a spillway, and behind the spillway is just this perfectly calm, perfectly smooth, little section of water, and just perfect for tooling around in a little bit, and it's got rope swings over it. And so the kids did the rope swings, and we swam there for a while, and it was just this beautiful little campground picnic area with this swimming hole behind it, and it was gorgeous. And what we didn't know, and I wish we had at the time, and I don't know if we would have followed up on it or not, but the whole time we're there, my wife and my dad are debating on where this river comes from. Because my wife really wants to know, and my dad is usually an expert about these sorts of things. And so he's like, well, it's got to be some kind of natural spring around here because the water is ice cold coming down. So he's like, it has to be from a spring that's close by because, if this was just runoff or if this was, a river that was coming, 20 miles overland, it'd be warm by now out in this hot sun because it was like 90 something degrees out. And so he says, so it's got to be a local spring. It's got to be coming down from the mountain somewhere here. But we don't know where. We checked it on the map, but it's kind of hard to see where it is. And what we found out later is Lisa and I sat down with Google Maps afterwards, and we did a real close up and followed it back to where it comes from. And that last swimming hole we were at with the rope swings, if we had just hiked literally followed the river 1 mile upstream, 1 mile, and there was the spring. And we've found, not only did we figure it out on the map, but Lisa also found someone who had done a couple of YouTube videos of it, just showing where the water is just coming up out of the ground. And yep, that's where it starts. It's right there in that place. Oh man. 1 mile up, we could have found it. Now, in this terrain, I don't know how long 1 mile would have taken us, but if we had known ahead of time, we would have planned for it. I mean, a mile may have been an hour and a half of crawling through stuff. We don't know. Or it might have been just 20 miles away or 20 minutes of wading through the water. I have no idea. But, we would have gone and looked for it if we'd realized we were so close. That is just cool. But see, here's the other thing is, all right, that's the swimming part of Turner Falls. Then, there's also the hiking and the natural caves, and I mean, just really amazing. There are natural caves all over, and there's, I think, three of them that they kind of advertise that, you know, there's trails to them. It's easy to find. They're super cool to get into. But then there are other ones that they don't advertise that you can find if you look around for them. And we didn't find any of those because we weren't that clever. But we did go hiking through the woods, and we found Outlaw Cave, which is, I mean, there's this, you know, you're on this ridge outside on the outside of the rock overlooking the river. And from that ridge, if you get down low, you can crawl through. And I mean, you have to crawl. You got to be on your belly. If you're a guy my size, you got to be on your belly and slide through this hole to get inside. And so my kids are standing outside at that hole debating on who is going to go through that hole first. And while they're doing that, I know something they don't. I took a separate branch of the path that went up further, and I found the back entrance to that same cave. I dropped down the hole, and I'm just sitting inside the cave watching that little opening, waiting for them to come in so I can scare the crap out of somebody as soon as they get inside, because I think that would be so funny. And they wouldn't go, and they wouldn't go. Turns out my dad had been with them, and you know, he didn't know where the adults were, and so my dad said, well, wait, don't go through there until we get your parents here. We want to make sure it's okay with them. And he was being very responsible, as my dad would be. And so the boys were just waiting, and they weren't going to go through because, well, yeah, Grandpa told them to wait, so they were waiting. Well, eventually, someone sent Noah down behind me, so now Noah's in this area where I am.
I went by myself.
Oh, did you find that by yourself? Well, Noah found me, and so I can still hear the other three boys out there debating, so I finally just sent Noah to go crawling out the hole that they're waiting at. And the reaction was just gorgeous. It was awesome. They're like, oh, what the hell? Where did you come from? It was wonderful. And so then we all got inside Outlaw Cave, and we hung out for a little while. The caves were amazing. There was, okay, and then on top of all that, there's a castle at Turner Falls. There is a castle just built into the mountainside next to the river. And why, you ask? Because some professor of history in Oklahoma in 1930 decided he wanted to build a castle here. And supposedly this castle was a proof of concept. I think he was trying to prove that just using the native materials and using primitive construction methods, that he could construct a real medieval-style castle, and did. Now, he says it's proof of concept. I personally think it was a guy with a cosplay fetish who just wanted a damn castle, because that's what I would do. Oh, my God, a castle. And apparently he used it as a summer home for a while, and it had other uses, but then it fell into disrepair, and now it is literally castle ruins. Like the roof has fallen in on several sections of it, and some sections are no longer even connected by the paths anymore. But it is a castle with turrets and walls, and it's really amazing. The pictures don't do it justice. You look at the pictures online. We saw the pictures ahead of time, and we're like, oh, look. Yeah, no, you can see where it's got rails there, and you can see where there's a bench here, and it just looks touristy. It looks like something that's been cleaned up. And no, it's not touristy at all. Yes, they've put in the guardrail here just to make sure people aren't falling off over the edge of the cliff. But, you know, other than some real basic safety stuff, no, you're climbing over castle ruins, and it's really amazing.
I was scared for my life at some points.
Yes. Yeah, there are parts where it is just frightening. You're climbing up the spiral staircase. All right. When I've looked at And I've seen a lot of dungeon maps in my life. All right. I have created a lot of dungeon maps in my life. And when you see a section where someone tries to squeeze a spiral staircase into a 5-foot by 5-foot square. And as I got older, I thought, oh, well, spiral staircase in a 5-foot by 5-foot square. That's bullshit. No one would ever do that. But no, this guy did. And it worked perfectly. And it was frightening as all get out because there's no, when you've got a spiral staircase coming up in this little 5-foot by 5-foot area. Again, big guy. I've got to kind of turn sideways and the stones are kind of brushing against me as I'm going up there. And yet there's no railings whatsoever on these steep ass stairs. So when you get up a couple of levels, you're looking down and you can see where, yep, one slip and I am breaking every bone in my legs on the way down. That is definitely going to kill me. I mean, it's frightening. And, in the places where there's no sunlight, that's where the spiders live. And, well, okay, not spiders, harvestmen, daddy long legs. But, they're spider-like enough to be totally creepy. And yes, I understand the most dangerous thing about harvestmen is that they will surprise you. And that's the big danger to them. So they're not.
There's millions of them, though.
They're not deadly, but they're still creepy. And so Lisa and I were so jealous. We wanted to go do this, but we were so tired at the end of the day. Jacob and Aiden went back with flashlights. They had a light and a lantern, and they went back at night to go look at the place. And they went through the whole ruins at night, and they did some Snapchats of it. And, I mean, they were getting, like, these sections where it is thick black, and then you get the light on it, and then that's when the thick black starts to ripple and part, and you realize, oh, no, it's just a carpet of daddy long legs covering the entire wall. And I mean, you can hear them screaming like little babies on their videos. And it's really funny.
You would too. Don't you even try.
Oh no, I'm not judging you. I didn't go back and do it, did I? I should have. I so should have because yeah, it sounded like the creepiest, coolest fun going through that whole thing again. So, hey, Castle Ruins, dudes. Seriously. I can't, it's so worth your time. If you're ever passing through Oklahoma and you have a chance to spend a couple of days in Turner Falls Park, you really should do it because it's just that much fun. Like I say, we met my folks there and it was just so nice to see them. We had such a great time. It was really awesome, awesome. Now, oh, hey, all right. I'll get to the negatives of this trip in just a moment. But before I get to that, speaking of my mom and dad, we are down there at the park and, I just remembered my mom brought 15 dozen cookies with her. 15 dozen. And we finished them up before we got back to Nebraska. But man, that was so good. Oh man. So while we're down there, we're having a conversation and I gotta tell you, my wife loves genealogy. All right. And I have a fair interest in genealogy as well. But my wife more so than I. And so there have been times back when my grandmother, my mom's mom was still alive. I remember me and my wife and, my grandmother sitting down together and her asking questions about, where did our family come from? What kind of heritage do we have on that side? Because, you know, my wife has traced her family back and they're pretty much, you know, with one exception, they're solid German through and through. And then my grandmother on my dad's side has traced our family back for hundreds of years. And, we're very, very English, as it turns out, very English and French but mostly English. And so, the only mystery is on my mom's side. And, you know, we got names like Marnie and Mullins and it all sounds very Irish and there's some red hair that weaves its way through the family. And so, okay, we're thinking, you know, pretty Irish, but we don't know. We have no idea what's on that side. And so my wife and I sit down with my grandmother and she's like, hell if I know, we're Americans because, you know, that's the kind of lady she was. And so, you know, we never got anything out of her on that one. Nothing. And much as we tried. So now here we are. In Turner Falls, Oklahoma, and my mom is telling a story, and she says something about, oh, well, you know, my daddy's mom was half Indian. What? What? Wait. Oh, yeah. She was like half Chickasaw or something like that. It was because this was, you know, she would have been born probably, you know, 1890, something like that, maybe right around the turn of the century. And so, whoever she was half Native American, and this would have been, and it was in Oklahoma after, long after the Trail of Tears. So, you know, there were tribes from all over that were all being forced together in Oklahoma there. And so she thinks maybe Chickasaw, but yeah, it could have been, you know, who knows? And I'm like, wait a minute. So that makes me 1/16th Native American. I mean, you know, not that that means a whole lot necessarily, doesn't change who I am or anything like that, but you know, it's not like we didn't ask, and my grandmother never saw fit to go, oh, well, you know, Jim's mom never mentioned it. Weird. So it was just odd that apparently I'm part Native American and just had no idea ever. And maybe it's because I'm oblivious. Maybe I've been told this story 100 times and I just never listened. I don't know. But I didn't know this before. I would have remembered something like that, don't you think? Man. So again, you know, I'm 1/16th Native American, which makes my kids 1/32nd now, so they can add that to their heritage list. And again, it doesn't change a whole lot, you know, other than the fact that it's there. I still, culturally, I've never had any connection to Native American culture, and I'm not, certainly not going to try and lay claim to any of that. I've never suffered any of the oppression or any of the, problems that go along with being Native American and being part of that culture. So therefore, I'm not going to lay any claim to any of that either. The more cynical among us, hear this story from me, and they're like, well, yeah, but you still would have qualified for some scholarships going to school. I'm like, okay, yeah, probably, but that's still, God, that isn't, yeah, even if I would have qualified, isn't that a little, isn't that a little smarmy, a little deceptive bit? I mean, again, yeah, just cause technically way back, I've got some heritage, you know, that again, never affected me culturally. I've never suffered any ill effects because of it. Therefore, why should I benefit from the stuff that goes with it? I don't get that. So, but I just thought it was very, very interesting. So there you go. Okay. Now, the downsides to Turner Falls Park. Turner Falls Park is, I thought it was Turner Falls State Park. It's not. It's not a state park. It is a city park. The city of Davis, Oklahoma owns Turner Falls Park, and it is a city park run in full by the city of Davis. And one of the first things we noticed going in there is, man, people do not pick up their trash around here, do they? All right. Now, and don't get me wrong, I'm going to go on about the trash in the park. Do not let that turn you off of this park. Okay. There's some issues with it, but it does set that aside. This is an awesome park and an awesome place to hang out and really super cool. All right. But I am telling you, we came in right after Memorial Day. So you can imagine we pulled in like literally the morning after Memorial Day. So you can imagine people had some big parties in there. All right. And it was in some of the areas where we went, you could see, we found these campgrounds and, primitive camping sites at the back of the park. It's where we found that final swimming hole with the rope swings, and we were super happy about it. But when my wife and I found those the night before we actually went out swimming there, when we found them, we go in and, yeah, there's trash on the ground. And then you can also see lots of spots where people had a garbage bag. They had a garbage bag that they packed all their garbage into this garbage bag. They had a big bag for their charcoal briquettes. And after they used up all their charcoal, they stuffed that bag full of their garbage. And then on their way out, they just threw the bags in the trees. Seriously? Just threw them in the trees. Like when you walk up the hill to get to your car, there's a dumpster right there next to your car. You had to pass by the dumpster to get to your vehicle to get out of the park. And yet they carried the bags just far enough to throw them in the trees before they left. I don't understand any of it. I don't. And the cleanup crews came through. And so by the time we went swimming there, all those big bags of garbage were gone and a lot of the stuff on the ground was gone, but it didn't change the fact that there was still, you know, we couldn't go hiking anywhere that we didn't find a glass bottle in a bush or that there wasn't a stray can here or a, and you're used to some garbage at any park, All right. Some of that happens, especially out in the backwoods where people think they aren't going to get caught and someone will lose a cup or throw a cup intentionally and it winds up, you know, stuck in a bush or stuck, you know, wherever. All right. It happens. But man, at Turner Falls apparently happens everywhere. And again, eventually it all gets cleaned up mostly, but it clearly the people that go to this park, it's clearly someone else's problem. It's really okay to just leave your garbage anywhere because, oh, someone will get that. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I don't understand that mindset. I have never, maybe I'm spoiled. Maybe I'm spoiled. I have never been in a park that allows that, where that sort of attitude is tolerated. I'm used to going places with scouts. All right. And you say what you want about scouts, but we leave a park looking damn nice when we walk out of there. Okay. We have a Cub Scout event at one of our local parks here. We've been having it there for about the last 5-6 years. And when we first moved in with this event, and it's an event that pulls in Cub Scouts from, lots of surrounding towns. And so we get hundreds of people there in the park, and it's, you know, we pitch tents out in the open field in the park. We pitch tents and we've got a bunch of people all camping out inside the park, and the tents are packed pretty close together, and we take up all this space and we use all their facilities. And, I know the guy who runs the park, and in conversation about it, he's like, I love having the scouts there. He said, it is amazing. I can't believe you guys get that many scouts in there. And when you leave, the whole place is clean. Like, you picked up garbage that you didn't even throw out there. It's amazing. We love having scouts. I'm like, damn right. That is exactly how it should be. That's how everybody's attitude should be. Like, how do you not clean up after yourself? How do you not show respect for, I mean, this is a park that's being provided for your use, and someone has to take care of that. Someone has to maintain that. How do you not respect that? You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. Yeah, we make a point whenever we go out, as a family even, but also especially when we go out as scouts, we make a point that, you know, you walk the area, you pick up everything, and every year you always have new scouts who are like, yeah, but that's not ours. We didn't throw that there. I don't give a crap. It's in our area. Pick that up. Let's go. And they get the idea, and you leave a place nicer than you found it, always. And so apparently Turner Falls Park doesn't have that. And all I could think the whole time, and my dad was on the same track as I was. So I was like, God, I wish I was running the local scout troop here. Like the Davis Scouts should. God, there's so many projects to be done here. You could have Eagle Scouts working on their, or Life Scouts working on their Eagle projects. This would be awesome community service projects to get a better system for getting garbage cans in there and finding a way to set up to clean them. Putting in some scary signs that, look, the only litter signs they had in there were litter signs that, you know, had cute woodland animals on it saying, oh, this is our home. Please respect it. Don't litter. No. Cute woodland animals is no good. What you need is the scary signs that reminds people that, hey, we do have a city ordinance about littering. And hey, it is going to cost you $500 if we spot you. So look, there's the dumpster right over there. Throw it away your lazy self. Go! I mean, seriously, a few signs like that to just give people the reminder that, yeah, it is a crime and it really is super easy to go throw it away. So why don't you go throw it away? Seriously. All right. Anyway, I don't mean to turn this into a nerd rage, but, cause I actually have some nerd rage later, but man, it was just, I just don't get that mindset. It's that same mindset of people who think still think it's okay to just drop your garbage in a movie theater as if there isn't someone who has to come around and get up under the seats and clean all that crap out of there. How do you possibly just drop your garbage in a movie theater? And I'm telling you, half the theater goers in this town, or Aiden, what's your estimate? What percent of people at the theater do you think just drop their garbage?
Well, that all depends. Am I standing in the theater 30 seconds before the movie ends?
That's
or am I late?
That's okay.
Because I have noticed that many, many less people leave their garbage there if I'm standing there.
Yeah, see, if the usher just stands there at the door waiting for you to leave, apparently you clean up your shit. But yeah, it just baffles me that people still have that mindset. How can you do that? You can't. I mean, it's such a simple thing. It's your garbage. It's right there in your hands. You're literally going to walk by the garbage can on your way out of the theater. It's not, it's a zero effort for you to simply drop it in the can on your way out instead of throwing it at your own feet. What? How lazy are you? Seriously. So, anyway, that was my one beef about Turner Falls Park. And again, God, the scouts in that area should have a heyday. There's so much they could do. And it would be simple. You get money from the city council. All right. You get money from donations from the city council, from whatever. So you can get the money for it. And then the scouts do the work to order all these cool signs, get them posted up all over, talk to the police officer in the area. Cause there were police officers in their little golf carts tooling around on a regular basis. You know, City of Davis police. There's no reason that they can't, you know, while they're down there being friendly, also maybe, you know, keep an eye on people. Remind them that, hey, we really might ticket you if you're going to throw your garbage on the ground. Wouldn't be that tough. So, man, I'm just going to keep ranting about this.
Are you done talking?
It is such a simple thing. I mean, look, the City of Davis clearly makes the majority of their money comes from this park. You would think they would be more invested in putting a little more back into it to keep it looking clean and professional all the time. I mean, you know, it's not like there weren't enough garbage cans and there weren't enough dumpsters and there weren't enough porta potties. Although, for all I know, maybe the park is just a big racket for whoever in town owns the dumpster service and porta potty service. And I mean, maybe this is just a moneymaker for everybody who can get those contracts, and they could really give a crap less about how clean it actually is, as long as they've got their service contract going. Who knows? That's me speculating about what crooked, nefarious forces might be behind the trash in Davis Falls, the Turner Falls Park. That's just me. All right. Enough of that. It's still, again, leaving aside my rant, it's still a beautiful place and there's still some really cool stuff there. And so if you ever get a chance, if you're ever in Oklahoma and you've got a couple of days, man, so cool. All right. There you go. Now, did I say I had some nerd rage? You guys want to hear it? All right. Then let's get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
I gotta leave.
Nerd rage came flashing back. And I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right. It's time for some nerd rage. All right. I have two nerd rages that don't even involve Turner Falls and its garbage. And they are both equally important. But, all right, let's take them in order. All right. And they're both really quick. One, if I am at a drive-thru and I have ordered now 4 drinks, 5 drinks, all right, I've ordered a lot of drinks. You can see, you're looking at me from the window, you can see, I am in a little two-seater car, I have 2 little drink holders next to me, I have no one else in the car with me, alright? It's very obvious, I'm alone here in this little tiny car, and you're gonna sit here and hand me 5 drinks through the window with no drink holder? How, what, seriously, you're not even gonna offer? You're just gonna just sit there and just keep shoving drinks at me like I'm going to what, balance them on the dash? What? Alright, but that's not the problem I have. The problem I have is that when I then say, oh, is there any way I can get a drink holder for these? For you to look put out about it? You knew I was gonna need a drink holder. You do this all day, it's part of your job. How, am I really putting you out that bad? I mean, I guess, because now you have to pull the thing out, you have to make sure it's folded correctly so the bottom sits down straight, and then you have to put drinks in it before you hand it to me. I see that that's a lot of work, but come on. You're a fast food place, and drink holders are part of what you do. How is this so tough? Drives me crazy. Sonic is usually really good service. I usually have no problem with Sonic, and yet, here it is, she's like, trying to shove all this stuff at me. I'm like, can I get a drink holder for the last of these? And she rolled her eyes at me. Like, oh, I didn't mean to ask for so much, but, you know, I have no place to put them. All right. But now, that was rage number one. Now, rage number two. Again, of equal importance. And actually, this one is actually far more important because it's far more insidious. I was going to try and make a joke that these were equivalent rages, and they're not. This is a change in language on the national scene in politics. This could have been an uncomfortable topic, but it's not. It's just, it's going to be a little rage, but I am really tired of, all right, let me ask you a question. When you think of the U.S. government, or you think of your local city government or state government, who does that government serve? Who are they responsible for? Who is their duty to? All right? And the answer most people say is, well, the people. And I say, all right, what specifically, which people? Well, all the people. And to me, I usually will clarify for them and say, so like the citizens of this country or this state or this local community. And yes. And now, in a broader sense, we are also responsible to everyone who lives here, even if they are not citizens as well. All right. But even on a basic level, you can agree that the citizens of the United States of America should be the first priority of our government. All right. And again, I would broaden that out even more and say it's everybody who's part of this country, everybody who lives here, everybody who is contributing to our country, all important. But at the very least, citizens, right? Okay. Well, let's note that in conservative language, in politics nowadays, that's not who they are beholden to. And that is not what they say anymore. They no longer speak of their duty to the American citizen. More and more often, you are hearing conservatives talking about how they are beholden to the taxpayers of their state or their country or their county, their city. Beholden to the taxpayers. That's an important difference, I think. That they are, and in fact, they will often describe it as, first and foremost, we are stewards of the taxpayer money. That is their number one job, is to be stewards of the taxpayers' money and to ensure that that money is spent wisely and that they get the most for their dollar and that as much as we can, we save them money and we give as much of that money back to those taxpayers as we possibly can because, again, our first priority is the taxpayers. Now, if you don't already see the difference between saying we are responsible to all the taxpayers and saying we are responsible to all the citizens or all the people. If you don't see that difference, then I don't know if we're going to be able to see eye to eye on this one. But I'm telling you, that difference is huge because that difference implies that our duty first and foremost is to the taxpayers. And that means that, okay, the people who pay taxes are more important than people who don't pay taxes, regardless of the reason that you don't pay taxes. All right. It means that there's, you know, different levels of citizens, and the ones we consider first are the ones who are actually paying their taxes. And the rest of them, well, you know what? We'll get to you if we've got time. Now, I will just tell you, I was going to have a little rant, but I'm going to keep my work life separate from my podcast life here, because I do work for state of Nebraska government, and this motto of taxpayer first is directly applicable in Nebraska state government. But let me leave that out. If you guys want to look up various states and what their particular state missions are or governor's missions are or whatever, you can certainly do that on your own. But I'm going to let you know that it's driving me crazy. And the more I hear it, the more it drives me nuts. And to hear this Trump budget that came out where Trump is, you know, cutting 14% from education and cutting Medicaid even after he promised to not touch Medicaid and not doing anything for infrastructure, even though he promised to do $1 trillion worth of infrastructure. Although I heard just this morning that I heard, saw a headline that said that, oh, he's going to try and get something moving on his $1 trillion infrastructure, which Well, okay, if you're going to try and get something moving on $1 trillion infrastructure, why was that not in your budget? What, did you only remember it just now after everyone said, well, why isn't it in your budget when you promised? Is it you just now remembered that you made that promise? It's suddenly important to you because someone just pointed, all right, anyway. That budget comes out, that horrible, horrible budget, and Mulvaney, who is clearly behind this in the budget office there, Mulvaney even said specifically that this is a budget that puts taxpayers first. That's what this is all about. The taxpayer is first and foremost in our minds when we came up with this budget. Oh, and well, you can see how that comes out. Because you know what? People on Medicaid aren't paying taxes, therefore, yeah, hell with them. So, you know what? Students don't pay taxes. Yeah, hell with them. It's very clearly, anyway. So that was my rage. The change in language, where many politicians are making it very clear that they are putting taxpayers ahead of other citizens in their considerations. And, I find it disingenuous and I find it disgusting. And it's something that, again, when they say it, when you hear the words come out of their mouths, you don't even think much of it. All right. That, hey, we have a duty to the taxpayers of this state to, and you don't even think about it because you hear it and you think, well, you think people, and yet it's not. The difference is very, very large and very distinct, and people need to pay attention to that. It bothers me a lot. So there you go. Anyway, I am way over time. So, you know what? Let's go straight into the pod. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I will add it to my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. And my very first number here is number 14. And I think I even have the Podomatic list right there. I sure do. Number 14 is from... I just had it. There it is. There it is. It's from Ronster. Ronster says, if you wrote a song, what would it be about? Let's see. If I wrote a song, what would it be about? My first song ever would be about Nerd Pride Radio. It would be a theme song for Nerd Pride Radio that I would write and I would sing very, very badly. But then I'd have my own theme song. And then the best part about having a really crappy theme song that I have written and sung myself is it would then inspire some of the more musically inclined in my listening audience to do way better than that. And maybe even, because they're super clever this way, they would do some sort of variation on the shitty song that I wrote, but they would do it better than I did. And they would rewrite it and they would add lyrics and then they'd put in real music rather than just my voice. And they would come up with an awesome theme song that I would then use in every single episode because I love my fans that much. But, to make that happen, I'd actually have to write that crappy theme song first. And I'm way too lazy for that. So, don't hold your breath. Holy cow. That was number 97. Let me number this one first so I don't lose it. There we go. Thank you, Ronster. And next up, number 97, is from... The anticipation is just killing me. Oh, what could it be? It's from Kyle. Kyle says, word association. All right, I'm not looking ahead. I'm going to say a phrase, and you just say the first thing that comes in your mind. All right. Okay, I can do this. Ready? Here we go. Poopstick. Candyland. I don't know why. It's the first thing that came to my mind. Does that say something about me psychologically? Because that sounds really bad. You say poopstick, I think candy. That's wrong. 21. We have no time to delve into that because we have more Podomatic. 21 is from D-Rod. Nice. D-Rod says, "What Hogwarts house do you belong to? Tell me." Ravenclaw. I don't know for sure. I've never actually tested myself.
I'm pretty sure you're a Hufflepuff.
But I would not mind being a Hufflepuff. I would love being a Hufflepuff. Because Hufflepuffs get a bad rap, but Hufflepuffs are about love and loyalty, and I don't mind being about love. All right, I am totally, totally down with Hufflepuff, but I'm also, at least when I was in school, pretty brainy, and prided myself on being pretty brainy. Not so much anymore, but boy, when I was a kid, it meant a lot to me. And so I know that if I was 13 years old and reading the Harry Potter series, I would absolutely want to be in Ravenclaw. And I would take the online test, and I would be hurt and offended if I wasn't in Ravenclaw. The only one I think I wouldn't be in is Slytherin. I just don't have that cutthroat ambition. But I wouldn't see myself as a Gryffindor. I mean, honestly, the Gryffindors are the jocks. And, you know, that's not me. That's not, although, you know, Hermione's in there. Hermione really seems like a Ravenclaw, but she made it to Gryffindor. So you never know. All right. So I could see Gryffindor maybe, but probably Ravenclaw, maybe Hufflepuff. I'm good with any of that. I'm fine. Number 29. 29 comes from Zimney. Zimney says, whoa, let's be careful there. Zimney says, "What's the best way to do a tabletop version of a Final Fantasy game?" Wow, that is an awesome question. And I've never played a Final Fantasy game.
Oh, I know.
I wouldn't know. But Aiden has an answer. Can you hear him from over there?
Okay, so it's a little complex. You actually play a tabletop version of a better game.
Oh, like Dark Souls?
Bedna.
Yeah. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm letting you down. I have no idea. Never played Final Fantasy. So I assume it would... No, I can't even assume anything because I don't know. I don't know Final Fantasy. 68. As George Carlin would say, you do me and I'll owe you one. 68 is from Kaz. Hey, Kaz. Kaz says, "Does your town do a farmer's market?" Yes. "Madison's is fantastic, but I think I went once this past year. 2017 and I should eat more vegetables." Dude, you and me both. I should eat more vegetables. I just don't like them. I've been through this with you. I eat some vegetables. I'm getting better about it. I get better all the time, but I'm just not great. And it's not good for my health. It's not. I need to eat more vegetables, but I just, it's rough. It's really, really rough. So, but yes, we do have a farmer's market here. It's maybe, six blocks from my house when they set up, and they do that every weekend. So, you know, it's not even tough to get to. I don't know how good it is. Never been there, but it's right there. 10. Number 10 is from dun 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 Ronster. Hey, Ron. Again, Ronster says, "What chore or maintenance or repair do you do that starts out simple and easy and turns into a great big pile of misfortune?"
Having kids.
Let's see. Having children. That would, yes. No, in general, I don't get too far in over my head with stuff like that, because I know how easily things can get out of hand. It'll be the one that gets me every time is, and I've gotten a lot better about it the last couple times it's happened, but my dishwasher, the drain in it, every once in a while, a chunk of something gets wedged into the drain and plugs it up in my dishwasher. And so to get that off, you have to remove the bottom panel, which is a whole affair to get there. You remove the bottom panel and then, okay, I know I have to unhook this, but now I need some kind of flat tray that, yeah, it can't be more than an inch high, but it also has to be large enough to hold all the water that's going to come flowing out of here when I pull this tube off. And God, the first maybe 5 or 6 times I did this, because it doesn't come up often, but the first 5 or 6 times I did it, it would be like, all right, yeah, no, I've done this before. I know how this works. And then I'd get in there and they'd be like, no, that's not it. Well, okay, what does this thing do? I can't. Oh, and I wouldn't be able to remember how to get all the parts out, and it would, and it just always wound up, no matter how careful I was, it always wound up with a gigantic puddle of water, dirty dishwater, flooding out across the linoleum, and it was nasty and ugly, and I just hated doing it. Now, the last couple of times, you know, whatever. Get in, get out. It still takes a little bit. It's a little involved, but it's not as bad as it used to be. So, is that close enough for your question? I hope so. 64. 64 comes from, dun dun, there it is. It's from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, you have the power to teleport, but only to the moon and only when you're there. Wait, hold on. You have the power to teleport, but only to the moon and only when you're there you are able to survive without air and in the vacuum of space. What do you do with this power? Yes, you get to pick where on the moon you teleport to.
I don't know why that matters.
Okay. First, if I was a younger man, I'd just use it to impress chicks. And
hey,
I
baby,
assume
I can take you to the moon.
I assume that I can bring one person with me, because you don't specify. So I assume I can bring one person with me who, as long as they're in contact with me, can still also breathe and survive, you know, without air in the vacuum of space, blah, blah, blah. So we're all good. Man, wouldn't that be impressive? But now, since I am an old married man, I would just take my wife up there, and then she would freak out. I don't think she would enjoy that. But more than anything, as long as I'm going to be on the moon, I don't know what useful thing there is if it's just me teleporting to the moon and back. So I guess I would get myself a decent telescope, and I would teleport myself out to the dark side of the moon, so I'm in shadow, and, well, unless the Earth is out, in which case you can get all that reflection and glare. But, yeah, I'd get a decent telescope to set up out there. I would teleport to my telescope every time, and, man, talk about having clear skies. I mean, no air to interfere. No people, no light pollution other than what reflects off the Earth. That would be pretty spectacular. I would love doing that. Cause we just went out camping, not out to Turner Falls Park. We did go Turner Falls Park where it was kind of camping, but it was a cabin. We had electricity. We had running water. It's not that primitive. But we did have a campfire, and we did some stargazing while we were out there. But then we got back from Oklahoma. I went to work the next day, and then immediately after getting off work, I had to take the two younger boys out, and we had to go camping with the Boy Scouts because that's just how the timing worked out. And so while we were out there, we did some more stargazing while we were out there, and it was just gorgeous. And I learned, again, some more things that I'd never seen before. I can now spot Draco because I got Big Dipper, Little Dipper, and holy crap, Draco just wraps around the Little Dipper. How hard is that to find? How have I not put that together before? That's weird. You would think I would have known that. So with Draco there's Hercules standing next to Draco. Again, you learn more every time you go. So I love watching the stars. Love it. And Pluto's been out this last week that I've been watching the skies. Not Pluto, but Jupiter. Jupiter's been out, and we've been able to see Jupiter clearly, easy to spot. Castor and Pollux, the twins, I've never known where they were before, so for some reason, they're just in a perfect position where, as we're looking around the sky, and every kid that I'm with is rather like, well, wait, what's those over there? And it's Castor and Pollux. Like, I got that question 3 different times this last week. So, anyway, I love stargazing, and stargazing from the moon would be even better. Stargazing from the moon with a telescope would be even better than that. So, you know, that's what I'd do. There you go. That's it. That is the end of our Podomatic. So I am going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she is going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. And my bumper music this week was Weezer's in the Garage. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, Angry Geeks versus Me Like Trivia, and of course, Nerd Pride Radio itself. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatching software you use. Write us a nice review. They really make a difference. But also, if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. Because if you're enjoying it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, I also have a Snapchat account now, nerdprideradio. That's actually my dream. I did my Snapchat account this week. I'll also do an Instagram account, probably a Tumblr account. And once I get all of those up, then I can be one of those people that just says Nerd Pride Radio on all social media. Won't that be awesome? But seriously, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We'll hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. I can't believe I didn't screw up any of the credits this time. That's a first. It's a first in months. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I am recording anything you want. Post it and I will read it at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. And to start off, over at my forums, there's only one betrayal here, and that comes from Kaz Monster. And Kaz says, I have had arguably the worst 3 weeks in a row here at the end of May. May has turned into the month where bad things happen for House Benish Grandberg. Tell us, Mike, what month is your worst month? Dude, I'm so sorry. That sucks. I hope things are getting better for you then. I hope June is a turnaround for you. And, come on. We got two more months. Two more months before we get to Gen Con. And we are going to have an awesome time. And everything's all right when you're at Gen Con. So, worst month for me? Oh, I don't know. I don't normally think in those terms. I mean, I know I've reported to you guys when I have had bad months before. Not often. It's usually after the fact because I never admit it while I'm in the middle of a funk or in the middle of having problems. But, you know, it's happened, but I've never tracked good months, bad months, as in specifically thinking about the month itself. So I got nothing on that. I really honestly can't say. Man, I wish I had a better answer, but I'm trying to think of which months have the least holidays in them and the least time off for me, or which, yeah, I don't know. Although, yeah, you know what? I will say May is normally the busiest month for us. It is the end of school. And so it's always, there's between, you know, kids getting out of school or college, or there's graduations going on. And even if it's not one of our kids graduating, my wife's a school teacher. She gets invited to a lot of graduations and we got a lot of that to go to. It's a little town. So there's graduations going on, trying to get the classroom wrapped up, trying to plan our vacations because we like to do, you know, we like to do a family vacation, especially if we're going to go down and see my folks in Texas or visit them like we just did. I like to get that done early in the year because if we go further south, it just gets hotter as the summer goes on. And so, this was a little easier. Like I say, it was 90s for some of our trip to Oklahoma, but you know, mid 80s, 90s. It was not as, you know, it wasn't we've been down south when it's, you know, 100, 110 degrees before. And, 90 is a lot easier to deal with. So, you know, there's just a lot going on right there at the end of school, beginning of summer, just getting everything set up and figuring out where we're going. And that's usually a lot of stress. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, things come and they go. So I've never bothered to track and look for patterns. So, but that's the best I can give you. Let's go over to Facebook. And under Facebook, I have got, three responses. All right. First one's from Nelly. And Nelly says, I just saw Wonder Woman. I'm jealous. I wish I was seeing Wonder Woman. And it changed my life. Seriously, I am so glad to hear that. Please talk about how great it's doing and how we need movies to have strong, well-rounded female characters. All right, well, you just said it, but I will reiterate for you so that it has more authority because I use a man's voice and thus people will listen to me. Is that... I'm kidding. That's the whole point. She's talking about strong feminist characters and a strong feminist movie, and I thus... make a joke about countering that point by saying that I'm more important because I'm a man. It was all a joke. Is it okay to tell a joke, Noah?
No!
All right. Noah's offended. But I will tell you, I am super excited for Wonder Woman. I really cannot wait to see this movie. I'm thinking I'm going to go see it on Father's Day, to tell the truth, but I almost... as busy as we've been, and we went straight from vacation to back to that day of work to overnight camping, and last night was finally my first night to get some real sleep, and I almost went out and saw Wonder Woman this weekend anyway, even with all that going on, just because I really want to see Wonder Woman that badly. The reviews for it are amazing, which is awesome. It's making a ton of money, which is also awesome. People are loving Wonder Woman, and thus that means we'll get more of these. And what is sad about that is that all of our hopes and dreams had to hang on Wonder Woman here. And so I'm just glad that it was good, because the whole idea was, oh, well, if Wonder Woman came out like all the other DC movies and it was just kind of, oh, it's all right, the fans like it, it's kind of half-assed. If it was like every other DC movie that's come out, like all of them about guys, well, suddenly this one, instead of being just another bad DC movie in a line of mediocre DC movies, if Wonder Woman had been bad, it wouldn't have been a DC movie. No, it would have been, yeah, it's a woman movie. It's a female superhero. It's a story about women, and therefore, oh yeah, see, you can't make that work at the box office. And it would have, if it hadn't been perfect, then suddenly all the blame would have been on the movie for being about a woman, as opposed to, Superman makes a couple of mediocre movies. Batman versus Superman is mediocre. The Suicide Squad, as much as I love Suicide Squad, it was a super flawed movie. There's so much going on that's just kind of, I mean, Green Lantern, and there's so much broken stuff among superhero movies, and especially DC movies, that had this been another DC movie like the rest of them they'd made, then, you know, had it been a guy, we just would have said, oh, yeah, well, it's just another movie. But instead, again, everyone's hopes and dreams had to hang on this one film, and so I'm so glad that it turned out as well as it seems to have. I haven't seen it myself, but I'm gonna. And someone else said it, and I can't remember who, but said, no, we'll know we've won when we get to make a shitty movie about a woman superhero, and they still give us money to make the next movie anyway. Because that's what happens to guy movies, is that, yeah, you get shitty ones, but so what? Sometimes you get a shitty movie, and we just move on and we make more movies. And when we can get to a feminist movie like this one, a woman's movie like this one, when we can get to the point where it's just a movie, and if it fails, okay, well, it failed. So what? Give us more money, we'll make another one. We'll make one better this time. And it doesn't have to be about her being a woman. And so that would be awesome. We're decades away from that, but you know what? It'll get there. And like I say, I'm just so glad it's doing well. I am so glad to see the Alamo Drafthouse do their woman's only screening for opening night of Wonder Woman, and watching the men's rights advocates lose their minds because the Alamo Drafthouse would dare to discriminate against them and have a woman's only showing of a movie. How dare they? This is after Mad Max Fury Road came out, and they railed that they would never watch this movie because they were sullying the name of Mad Max, that Charlize Theron can't, she's a woman. She can't be our hero. This is pure feminism. It's bullshit. We're never going to watch this movie. It's ridiculous. You don't get a female action hero. That's not how things work. And then they get a female action hero and they're told that they can't go to it. Oh God. Now they're peeing their pants because, well, but we want to see Wonder Woman. Yeah, screw you. Screw you. Come on. One showing. Seriously, out of the whole opening weekend, one showing went to women only to make a point. And you guys are going to be babies about that? It just kills me. And the Alamo Drafthouse handled it perfectly. The mayor of Austin handled it perfectly. Oh, read all the hoopla about it. It was absolutely wonderful. Some jackass is writing to the Alamo Drafthouse and saying, what? So the movie It's coming out? Are you going to have a special screening just for people who identify as clowns? And the Alamo Drafthouse said, oh my God, that's the best idea ever. Well, I think we might do that. I hope they do that. I would love to see them do that. How awesome would it be? The opening of It is a theater packed with nothing but clowns. God, that would be so great. But this is, my brother just put together brackets. Or was trying to put together brackets because he wants to rank all superhero movies and he wants to come up with brackets so that we could vote on which one's the best. And, you know, we would start off with this, you know, huge crowd of movies and narrow it down until we get to our final four and then our final best superhero movie ever. And to set up his brackets, he went back. He wanted to go with, like, start with the year 2000 or the year 1999. And then he realized if he backs it up a couple of years, he gets the first Blade movie in there. Because Blade's a superhero based on a comic book, Marvel Comics. Alright. And so you get all these superhero comic book movies. If he went back to the first Blade movie and then took every superhero movie from then until the beginning of this year, there are 64 of them. Like, that's why he had to back up and get Blade, is because if he took Blade, why, he's got a solid 64, a perfect set of brackets, 64 movies. Of 64 movies, not a single one of them had a female lead in it. 64 films in the last 18, 19 years, not a single one had a female lead. Yeah, of course this is monumental. And I hope that as awesome as Wonder Woman is, I hope Captain Marvel is even better next year when she comes out. I hope Wonder Woman's sequel is even better. I hope that we just get to keep seeing movies with female leads, whether it's superhero or not superhero, and know that they can be mainstream blockbuster movies like this. Because this shouldn't be any difference. And 20 years from now, I hope we're looking back on this, wondering why people even made such a big deal about it in the first place. What was wrong with us 20 years ago that this was even an issue? All right. Because that's how my kids are growing up. My kids are going to grow up 20, 30 years from now, and they're going to tell their own children, hey, you're not going to believe the weird things that people said and did when Wonder Woman came out.
Separated?
Yeah. There's just all that crazy stuff. And so, this is just one more awesome step, towards a better future. So all right, there we go. Audacity just froze, said not responding, and now it's moving forward. So, if you guys noticed a jump in the audio there and you missed part of my awesome ending, to talking about Wonder Woman, well, just know that it built to an amazing crescendo. I was so moving that my children cried. It was powerful.
The most eloquent speech I've ever heard in my life.
Most eloquent speech ever.
10 out of 10, I would have listened to that.
If you did hear it and you don't feel the same way about it, then clearly, something was messed up in the audio because it was gorgeous. All right. Next up in listener betrayal, Sarah Beth says, says, missed you. Hope you had a good vacation. Yeah, sorry for taking a week off, but, so worth it. And she says, I'm sure you told us about it already. I did. But tell us an aspect that you would have done differently. Oh, that's a good question. Kids, is there anything we should have done differently?
No.
Noah says no.
Agreed.
Yeah, we just really had a good time. Man, I wish we'd planned ahead of time to take that extra mile long hike to go up to the the head of the river and see where it springs up out of the rock. That would have been cool. And maybe, I mean, the only thing I really would have done differently is I would have packed a little bit differently. There was some stuff that we didn't need, you always think that, well, maybe we'll need a jacket. Maybe it's going to get cold at night and we're going to be out around the fire. Or maybe it's going to be, you know. And so had I known exactly how everything was going to pan out, I just would pack differently. So we weren't, I mean, it was tight. It was really tight. Like, we got down there and my mom and dad gave us their goat picture, which we love the goat picture. It is this bizarre painting that they had on the wall in their kitchen years ago. And my wife and I, Lisa and I, admired this goat, and I love the picture. It is a beautiful painting. And they redecorated and they changed things and they took that picture down. Well, they've now given it to us. They just brought it along and they give us this huge wrapped package and they're like, hey, it's the goat. You guys can take it home with you. And so we have the goat picture here at home and we're thrilled, but I didn't know where we were going to put it in the van because, I mean, It was
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a jigsaw puzzle, a 3D jigsaw puzzle of putting pieces in together so that everyone had room and everything was balanced and nothing fell out. We could still get to the drinks. On top of that, my mom also brought down pool noodles, 10 of them, 10 pool noodles. I mean, they're only a buck a piece, but, you know, 10 pool noodles. So that we've got these huge foam noodles that we took out swimming with us, which was awesome. But then, well, they didn't want to take them back to Texas with us, and so they left them for us, and we're like, we got no place to put these. We have none whatsoever. I mean, there was no, we could have left Noah out, but we kind of like him. So ultimately, we just sacrificed the noodles. We made them a part of the cabin we stayed in, and hopefully the next guests can enjoy those noodles themselves.
Wait, the guest before us left
yeah, that's true.
Plastic
Look,
bananas.
Yes, the guests before us left a 4 inches long, a bunch of plastic bananas, like just pre-molded bunch of bananas just laying in the middle of the floor. And so that was their gift to us, and we appreciated the plastic bananas. And so we left behind pool noodles for the next guest, and we're just paying it forward. That's just how it goes. So, next, Sarah Beth also says, this is the third post and last post, Sarah Beth also says, from Pat... Oh, F. Mary Kill. It's Bed, Wed, or Behead. Teeny Tiny Edition. Oh, this sounds perverted, Pat. Well, I guess that would be normal sized for you, Pat. Number one, Wasp, Janet Van Dyne. Okay. Number two, Tinkerbell. Number three, Mighty Mouse. Ooh. You are a clever one, Pat. Let's see. I am going to... this is not going to be tough for me at all. It's all right. We're still... Audacity is pausing here on me again. So, man, am I running out of memory? I bet I'm running out of memory on my computer. I bet that's what it is. I'm going to need to clean some stuff up before next week's recording. Anyway, this is an easy one. I am going to wed the Wasp because Janet is... wealthy and she's smart. She was the leader of the Avengers for a while. She has, she's just awesomely talented. She is a strong woman. I wish Wasp had gotten more screen time in the Ant-Man movie. I would love to see, an Ant-Man sequel that makes them equal partners in the movie. And in fact, even make the Ant-Man sequel Wasp and Ant-Man, or Ant-Man and Wasp, if you want to go alphabetically. I would love to see that, or see her get her own movie, because she's a fascinating character, and she could really pull this off. Although, you've already done Ant-Man, so having someone with the same powers, except she can also fly, moving, but we'll see. Anyway, that's not the point. I would marry Wasp. I would, bed Tinkerbell, because she's Tinkerbell. She's adorable. And plus Mighty Mouse, it's bestiality. I mean, I know he's anthropomorphic and all, but he's still a mouse. So,
it's not the size, it's how you use it.
Yeah, I know how you use it. Sure it is. But yeah, so I'm going to have to behead Mighty Mouse. And all three of these, I'm going to make the assumption that I'm dealing with teeny tiny figures. Do I get to be teeny tiny as well? Because if not, then...
You just killed Tinkerbell.
Yeah, then I feel really bad for Tinkerbell because I weigh 280 pounds. I'm a huge guy. I can't, that's not nice. Oh man. But again, given those choices, I will marry Wasp, bed Tinkerbell, behead Mighty Mouse. I'm good with all of that. So that wraps up the end of this podcast. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for being patient with me. I am so glad to be back. I love you guys. This has been absolutely wonderful. Say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight, Aiden.
Say goodnight, Eli.
Goodnight, Eli.
Say goodnight, Noah.
Mom.
And R2. We'll see you next week.